Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp. This is November 18th. It's the Wednesday Night War podcast. We're reviewing NXT. We're reviewing AEW. Get the plugs right out of the way. I got a Tom Pritchard interview that's up right now. I got a Killer Kelly interview that drops on Thursday. And on Sunday, one that I'm very excited about. Tough Enough One's Nydia. A 7,100-word feature going up on that bad boy. And lots of articles to follow. It's her first interview since the 2000s. She does not have social media. She does not do anything like that. So this is going to be the only place that you hear from her. Please give that some love on Survivor Series Sunday. But you know, we got exclusives all the time at Fightful.com. We got them all the time at FightfulSelect.com. I broke some tonight during the show. Had some backstage notes on the program. Had a name that they pitched for Chelsea Green that didn't happen. Hopefully it never does happen. It almost did. Lots of stuff about a Vince McMahon meeting with a star that Paul Heyman was high on. But you know what? Alex Palowski's also on Fightful Select. How's it going, Alex Palowski?
I'm doing pretty well. But you know, as a lot of people know, I do record this in my basement. I haven't had to break out the fingerless gloves yet. But mark it down, folks. November 18th is the day I switched from the backwards baseball cap
to the beanie
to the winter beanie, because that's how cold it is in my basement.
So, we got to brand you, man. We got to start making Fightful beanies for you.
That'd be great.
I mean, we got to do it. We got to get you one sent. Leave a thumbs up, guys. I can't tell you how much that helps if you see any of our streams, any of our videos. The more you thumbs them up, the more that it lets YouTube know that you like what's going on. So please do that and subscribe. Hit that bell for notifications. During this show, if you send a super chat, we answer your question or statement on the air. We got Robert DeFelice here as well. Robert, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. I unknowingly took the backwards cap on from Alex.
And here I am, not wearing anything. I had a Taylor Swift wig on a few weeks ago, though. So, I mean, you all can get on my level eventually.
Yes.
We've got some super chats right out of the gate. Anakin JMT says, happy for Renee and Moxley. Glad that even a couple pushing 40 can still start a family. What butter disregard Jimmy V had for you, Sean. He thought I was upset because of my age. And I'm like, whoa, bro, what? 36 isn't pushing 40, and that's not how old I am. But he said Nia Jax was pushing 40. And I'm like, no. Bryant Heath says, I'm upset you turned down Luke's team offer. I was busy, man. I had important things to do. I was playing with my Toy Story figures. I did not want to join Team Luke. Zach Barber says, get you a space heater, Alex. Man, that runs your electric bill square up, though, doesn't it?
I have one, okay. And I've used it. I used it on the podcast a while ago, and you can absolutely hear it. There's a little hum underneath it. I don't want to do that. Look what I do for this business. For this business, Sean.
This business. I love it. Of course, Eloquent says, congrats to Renee Paquette. Yeah, I can't tell you guys how wonderful Renee Paquette has been in every interaction that I have ever had with her. And that's more than I can say for a lot of people in wrestling. Very, very happy for her. It is just wonderful. And especially when you see the overwhelming positive reaction from the wrestling world when Becky Lynch posted hers. Man, there ain't a person that you can find that dislikes Renee Young. Same with Becky, though. So, before we get in this AEW review, Eloquent says, did you see the Britt Baker talk show segment on Dark? Thought it was hilarious. How the F did WWE have Serena Deeb and not let her wrestle? We'll talk about that later. Let's talk about one hilariously dopey reaction to that Britt Baker thing. Did you see the guy who claimed to be a stand-up comedian who claimed that Britt Baker was ruining stand-up comedy by doing a wrestling segment? Oh boy, no. Let me tell you, this dude had to take a quick break from his demanding poon-slaying schedule to film this one. It was one of the most embarrassing videos I've ever seen. And he finished it talking about rim jobs. It's unbelievably dumb. Like, I'm not going to put his Twitter handle over, but it was one of the dumbest things that I ever saw. Evan Wright says, Sean, did Myron Reed need to wear his vest today? He has to. He has to. For his own safety. Please,
medical reasons.
Medical reasons. Please stop asking him to not wear his vest. So, let's talk AEW Dynamite. Eventually, I keep meaning to have Alex and Robert switch these, but it'll happen one of these weeks. Yeah. We got an AEW show, and man, I really liked it. But I mean, the thing is, I usually enjoy it. Evan Wright says, thought AEW smashed it tonight. Hot opener, women's storylines, amazing heel turn at the end. Inner Circle stuff was hilarious to me. Great night. Robert, what'd you think?
Yeah, this was a pretty solid episode, and overall, I like where they're going, even though I gotta say the December 2nd winter is coming. It's a pretty cheesy tagline for a show, but if they can get away with it, more power to them.
And of course, you know, it's getting over, so we'll rock with it. I mean, we got Butter Disregard over last week because of somebody's typo. So keep them rolling in, guys. Super chats all night long. Young Bucks against Top Flight. Robert, I think Top Flight are going to be all right in this wrestling business. I think they're going to do okay.
Yeah, I think they should. They should have scooped them right away. I understand maybe why not. Well, they're a little young.
Maybe they have, and we just don't know it.
Oh my God, they were so good.
Because Anthony Bowens, I know that he was signed weeks before. The Lee Johnson signing, the way that I knew that happened is because I hit him up for an interview, and the day we were set to do it, he's like, oh, by the way, I got to clear it with PR. And I'm like, not if you're not signed, you don't. Like, yeah. One of those. So maybe I should try to interview them, and we'll find out. But Bryant Heath says, Top Flight is the future. It's hard to disagree with that. The comparison I keep saying is if Low Key and Amazing Red had teamed together in 02, that's who these two guys are. This match ruled, Robert.
Yeah, you put that over last week, and I was like, very high praise, but they lived up to it. They were doing springboard swantons, some stuff that you don't see outside of video games, and shit looked good, and it looked crisp, and it made the Young Bucks look even better than they typically do on a weekly Wednesday nowadays, and that was awesome.
Wait, did they roll sevens? Did they hit a blackjack? You said stuff you don't see out of video games. All I can think of is this AEW casino game they got rocking
now. Oh, yeah. But, you know, they weren't wearing shirts, so they wouldn't be able to fly in that game.
Yes. Evan Wright says, give me Top Flight versus Private Party immediately.
Yes.
I mean, tag team wrestling, Alex, it's so simple. Every single person that watches wrestling can relate to having a friend, having a brother, having a sister, a mother, a son, a father that they dream of, like, tag teaming with, winning tag team titles with. It's a very relatable thing to want to share your joy, even for the most miserable person in wrestling reviewing.
Me, yes.
Yes.
No, I think that everybody can imagine having a friend you would want to go to battle with, a friend who you would never, ever stab in the back, no matter what, a friend you would ride or die with. Everybody can imagine that, except for Vince McMahon, which is why he treats his tag teams the way he does.
Yeah, the guy who literally gave Sheamus and Drew McIntyre a giant sword for them to figuratively stab each other in the back with at some point.
No.
It's his sword.
Yeah.
It's Vince McMahon personally owned that sword, guys. Unreal.
Amazing.
Drew Nicholas says, the younger Top Flight bro rivals Montez in the incredible amount of air and lightness on his feet. Absolutely incredible. Yeah, and then afterwards you got the Hybrid 2 coming along. I like them. Also, I would like to see Matt Sydal maybe join the Hybrid 2 in the future. I think that would be a good move. What do you think about TH2 going after them? To me, it makes sense. It's easy. Like, no, we're the high flyers around here. We're worried about our job security type of thing. That seems like the kind of thing AEW would do.
And they also have the logical bitterness. Like, we've been here since day one, and we haven't gotten a match like this on Dynamite. What the hell? I like it. I like TH2. TH2 is very good, and they have not been utilized as well as they could have. Now, Jack Evans went to Twitter a while back and said that that's on him largely, but I'm ready to see them shine in year two.
I am a huge Hybrid 2 fan. Not, I mean, as a unit, great, but those two guys, I was such a huge fan of them in Lucha Underground. Jack Evans is so underrated with all the things he can do comedically and things like that, just as a character. And Angelico has still done one of the greatest stunts I've ever seen in a wrestling ring, where he ran off the top of that warehouse thing and did a dropkick to somebody on a ladder.
Yes.
That was amazing. If you can find that on YouTube, it still boggles my mind that they had him do that. It was so crazy.
One of the most unreal things I've seen. Jack Evans got me into like WWE TNA wrestling, because I saw his Scramble Cage clip. Bryant, he says, TH2 versus Young Bucks gives me PWG vibes. Oh, yeah. And they're bringing this style to the forefront, and I love it. Eloquent says, shout-outs to FTR topping the PWI Tag Team 50. Yeah, shout-out to them for issuing me exclusive comments on that when I reached out, too, because a lot of people will just be like, no, well, we got to wait. They were like, what's the harm? Let's do it. They issued us comments. It's unfightful. Check it out. And Evan Wright says, love the Motor City callbacks, the hand gesture into the corner camera, the top rope slice bread. Makes me happy seeing tag wrestling praised. Alex, you and I specifically have reviewed a lot of years now of WWE not caring, and I love that people care.
Yes. Absolutely. Like, this is the thing that you watch. You watch the especially the guys who are allowed to do this kind of stuff in AEW, how much reverence they have for the history of this separate art form of wrestling. Because there's a two-person dance that we all know, but when it comes into how do you get four people involved and all the different ways you can use teamwork in various manners, AEW is second to none.
I love the Motor City Machine Guns. I wish that they were on a global platform 10 years ago, but I'll take it today because they are that good. I'm hoping that this somehow leads to a cool Young Bucks Motor City crossover.
Orange Cassidy defeated Kip Sabian. This was another fun match, but I mean, you knew the drill. You know Orange Cassidy's winning. They're setting up Miro. He ends up attacking Orange Cassidy until best friends make the save. This is harmless. I mean, Kip Sabian, I think, is going to be a lot more serviceable down the line. I've been there during scrums where he really held court and has a natural type of charisma and is a very charming guy. But Orange Cassidy winning this was a no-brainer, and it's pretty good.
Yeah, Miro is on commentary, which is a great way to showcase this new Miro. I'm not a fan of it, but that's okay because it shows where they're going. And for what it is, he's having fun. Good things all around.
Yeah, I'd rather him be booked. I mean, this booking, it's like, well, they could do more. But in WWE, it's like, they're not doing anything with him. Yeah. So, and this was fine. And to me, if you give me fine in pro wrestling, I'm going to be satisfied. I'll be all right with it.
I'll take Gucci Miro on commentary over Miro getting cucked by Lashley. So, you know.
We have The Blade losing to Pac. Now, I love the way they told this story because usually I'd be like, why doesn't Pac just run through him? Pac had 8 months off, and they reiterated it on commentary over and over. Kingston said, is that the 8 months off? Is that the 8 months off? So I thought that made a lot of sense, how they can create competitive matches within commentary and give you a reason why this goes 10 minutes instead of 2 minutes. Robert, the match itself, how'd you feel?
Really good. It reminded me of why I missed Pac, and it was great to see him back. I loved the story that they told after the match, even if I feel like the overall ending was a little rushed. Mm-hmm. It's the perfect story to tell, so we're banging on all cylinders here.
Yeah, this was good stuff, and then afterwards, Eddie Kingston comes out. He attacks Pac, and I don't know what Rey Fénix was trying to do. When Rey Fénix, let me tell you what, Alex, he was not Angelico hitting that drop kick, which Boris Nestovich just saw and said, wow, yeah, it's one of the most exhilarating spots ever. He tried to launch himself into the ring, but he just kind of landed sort of on everybody, but I don't think he was supposed to. Oh, but we got the death triangle back, Robert. I mean this.
Yes.
And here's the thing. Predictable isn't bad when it's good. And that's the perfect example. We knew they were doing this, but it's good.
Yeah, and this was good. And I can argue the whole, well, Penta just tried to kill his brother last week. But, you know, if you have a sibling, you understand. Like, listen, I can beat you up and we can try to kill each other. But if somebody else even lays a finger on you, no, I'm going to come to your aid. And this is great. I'm not sure how much legs the Kingston Butcher Blade pairing has.
Yes.
But Death Triangle's fun.
I mean, I kind of like Eddie Kingston with Santana and Ortiz in the future because there's some history there as well. Evan Wright says, Phoenix with butter disregard for his body. Alex, like I said, predictable isn't bad when it's good. And I think that everybody knew when they put Pentagon and Phoenix with Eddie Kingston, it was a placeholder, but it was a damn good placeholder.
Yeah, I think they could have strung it out a little bit. But it's fine. Like this, you're getting this. I think that Butcher and the Blade are two guys who seem like they would hang out with Eddie Kingston.
Yes.
It's true. More than Penta and Phoenix. But again, like Death Triangle is a great name. Triangulo de la Muerte is the greatest name for a trios faction I've ever heard. You have to say it that way because it's just fantastic, especially since it's these two amazing luchador brothers and this Jordy tiny little like coked out pirate who's their leader. It's so great. I can't wait to see actual trios matches. In like AEW is the perfect place to do a trios division. Like you can do that and put a whole bunch of people, because you got also, not to spoil anything, you have another thing that happens at the end of AEW that gives you another trio that I'd love to watch versus any of these guys out there. It's great.
Oh, so where are we, Sean, with the AEW Trios Championships? You got any scoops on that? Because this is coming.
Well, I mean, FTR told me they didn't want it. They think it would negate things. But before I get into that, I'm going to tout this trios roster. Eddie had butter disregard for trying to say Pac's name right. And then IG the King says, great week for tag wrestling on Raw, Impact, and AEW. You damn right it was.
Yeah,
I mean, for all that we just said about WWE, that Hurt Business New Day match, amazing. If Raw gives me one match like that or Ali Ricochet a week, I'm not going to dread it.
Right.
Bryant Heath says, trios championships, please. So I don't think that they're coming right away, and that's just me saying I don't think. I can find out, but I wish they would, because they got 2 hours of TV on YouTube a week now. And we've got the roster. Go to our Fightful Wrestling Resources section and look at all the teams. You got Best Friends and Orange Cassidy. You've got Team Eddie Kingston now. You've got two or three different combinations of the Dark Order as trios. You've got the Gun Club, which is Billy Gunn and his kids. You've got the Nightmare family. You've got them still. You've got the Elite. You've got Jurassic Express. You've got two different combinations of the Inner Circle. That's just off the top of my head looking right here. You've got Team Taz now. Stronghearts when they're back. SCU. There's a dozen trios teams right now.
And I'm going to go out on a limb and say FTR wouldn't mind it as much if Tully could go.
Yeah,
until they go, I think they'd enjoy themselves some trios.
Yeah. I think it would be great if the two of them refuse to tag him in until the pinfall, and then he always gets to get the cover. Like, no, it's a tag match. We'll go 2-on-3, and then Tully, because of our reference for him, he'll get to get the 3 count.
That'd be awesome.
Evan Wright says, just give me a King of Trios tournament. No titles needed. Give them medals or something like they did with the women's tag tournament. That'd be so fun. I agree. The Nerd Guru says Mox announcing that on the Shield anniversary. My God.
Hell yeah. I didn't even catch that.
Guys, donate a super chat. Get your question or statement read on the air. Nyla Rose and Jade Cargill attacked Brandi Rose backstage until Swole made the save. I love Big Swole. She's so convincing. And this stuff from Jade Cargill was a lot better than what we saw last week. It was simple. She stomped on Brandi's arm in a chair. Robert, did this one do anything for you?
So I like the idea that just because somebody's not good in a traditional wrestling sense doesn't mean they won't be good in a street fight sense.
There you go.
And this was perfect. More importantly, Nyla and Vicky Guerrero running interference and kind of establishing a partnership. And now you've got Big Swole coming to the aid of Brandy, which at least puts Big Swole at the forefront of things, which will be a lot of fun to watch going forward.
Yeah, I completely agree. Also, later on, we see Anna Jay. She's going to face Hikaru Shida. They played this up. They gave you a reason for the rematch. John Silver, who was amazing, is touting her, and she's saying, you beat a rookie. You took advantage of a rookie. I'm not a rookie anymore. Even though, Alex, she absolutely is still a rookie. She's had like 20 matches, but she's also, she had a good match with Brandi Rhodes, for the love of God. Mm-hmm. Really good match with Brandi Rhodes. I'm excited to see it.
I think she wins it.
Really? Alex, how do you think?
I mean, listen, anything's possible. All I know is the NWA women's division on AEW is far surpassing the AEW women's division on AEW. They have apparently just the use of these NWA women who could come in and have these bangers of matches we'll talk about in a second. And then we'll talk about this, get into feuds with AEW women, which is a really great thing. Yeah. And all of a sudden that roster expands. And then you have these women who are not as much of rookies, let's say, who can come in and teach the rookies a thing or two about how to go and how to do TV.
Very great of AEW to instill the secondary women's championship, which is the AEW women's championship.
Yeah, that's true.
Because, I mean, we're about to talk about it, but yeah, my God. Evan Wright says, John Silver is such a star to me, pizza boy. I mean, that's the thing. He got himself over in BTE, and Tony said, why don't we see that? And then he's like, you want to see that on your show? Okay. And he's amazing.
He's BTE champion now, baby.
Yes. IG the King says, Rascals are an amazing trio, but they're going to WWE. Yeah, they are. I'd imagine we'll see them on 205 Live, and we should. They're very, very, very good. The Jam on Ryan B. Jam says, Private Party and Matt Hardy is trios.
There's another one.
My God. So as we mentioned, John Moxley said it's been a crazy ride, and he mentions that he's going to be a father, all that good stuff. Like, we hear about that. That's awesome. And then we see him laid out backstage when the camera goes to him in the contract signing. Omega had already been in the ring. He was wearing the suit. He signed the contract. What do you make of this, Robert?
I don't know who, but I'm guessing if there's any kind of Japan crossover, I don't think Kenny Omega did it. I think somebody from Japan did it.
Yep, I would like that. Who's in line for the U.S. title shot? Is it Tanahashi?
I thought it was Kenta.
Is it okay, it is Kenta. You're right, it's Kenta. There you go.
That'd be Kenta's great.
Oh, you know what they should do? They should say that he was the person that attacked Hideo Itami in the parking lot. I did it. I'm a miracle worker.
Yeah, this is great.
You and figured then Kenta it out. Came back.
You figured it out.
Evan Wright says Kenta attacked him. There we go. Yeah. Let's freaking go.
Let's do
this
it.
This would be the ultimate crossover, and it would get everybody talking.
Oh, man. It would be amazing. And I mean, they were there. If WWE's not going to do it, why not? Why not fix their own booking for them? Oh, I love it. Whoo, this Las Vegas stuff. It was very much a Hangover parody. I gotta admit, I popped at the Hornswoggle being the baby thing. I'm embarrassed that I laughed at that, but I did laugh at it. Also, I laughed at a recent episode of the Hawkins Ryder thing where they're, you know, they do the signings and all that stuff and people give them gifts. Well, somebody gave Hornswoggle like a canvas painting of him, and Cardona goes, oh, that's life size. And I wish I didn't laugh, but I did. I thought for sure they filmed this whenever they did that commercial for the video game or something, but they actually did this Friday and Saturday. Robert, how'd you feel about this?
My Sammy Guevara stole this from me. Mm-hmm. My favorite bit was the, oh, you want to be Blood Brothers? Let's go. I'll cut myself right now. Let's do it. And they had to get an Elvis personator to calm him down. Fantastic. the best running gag in AEW is Wardlow and Hager.
Yes.
Just staring at each other. And I mean, obviously, you know, you've got the
weed dealer Conan as well.
Oh, weed dealer Conan. There was like a guy dressed as a dragon. I thought it was like, where do you get dragon onesies, especially ones that are like made to look like Ultimo, which is just hysterical. It was a lot of weird stuff. The dick measuring contest with who's going to drink the most heavy alcohol.
To be fair, good. I thought that I had just missed something, and I thought they had a literal dick measuring contest within.
They could have. We might not have seen that because it was definitely going that route.
MJF and Sammy, man, they just don't like each other. That's how it works. Alex, did you happen to see much of this?
Oh yeah, I saw this. I did enjoy their one-upsmanship on ordering the drinks. We in the bartender said we haven't served that since. And then they said something together that I didn't understand, the blank incident, and I didn't catch it. And I'm assuming it was a fantastic punchline, but I missed it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't get that one either.
I thought this was pretty fun, man. I mean, it was more than anything, it was harmless. It was harmless, and it was a good way to further, like, they're trying to bond.
I did, because I my sour grapesness can't exit entirely. I'd have one quibble. That's not how blackjack is played. No. They don't give you both of your cards face down and you show them to the dealer. Hey, I got 20. Like, that's not how blackjack is played at all.
It's a swerve, bro. That's their game.
That'll be played in a casino game. Don't worry.
Yes. Evan Wright says, Conan with the weed popped me immensely. There you go. Anakin JMT says, quick thoughts on the PWI tag team rankings. I have not seen them all yet. I took a couple hours off as they dropped, but I got the comments from FTR. I'll be looking over those tonight, and I will let you know. Just drop me a line, Anakin, and remind me Friday, and we'll bring that up. But yeah, I'm glad they're doing tag team rankings. I am.
And it makes tag team wrestling matter. And I know Sasha and Bayley were up there, and they deserve it because they carried the pandemic.
Yeah, of course.
They deserve it.
Of course. Bryant, he says, I was gonna FTR so they can pay off the North Carolina references. I'm glad that Kenny Omega let people know that was because of Michael Jordan. I enjoy that. I think a lot of people assume that, like, people like Kenny Omega have never watched sports or something like that. So he gets those references. Oh man, Serena D beat Thunder Rosa. This match humped. Like, again, it's amazing. And we got people asking us, how did they not use Serena as a wrestler in WWE? It's mind-boggling, Robert.
I think they would have gotten there, but everything you would have gotten wouldn't have been nearly as important.
They wouldn't have taken the chains off.
No, she wasn't going to wrestle. She wasn't going to wrestle.
This was 2010. When Serena Deeb came in, they were knee-deep in the Piggy James bullshit.
No, not that. I'm talking, like, they had her as a coach the last 3 years. She did not wrestle at all. Like,
oh, well, I think you can make the same argument for how have they had Sarah Del Rey forever and not had her in the ring once? Maybe it was a decision that she made herself because she didn't want to take away from the women's evolution. I don't know. It's definitely clear that she can add so much to a roster, and I'm glad she's getting the chance to in all of wrestling.
Well, Serena Deeb looks like $1 million. I love her gear. It's so traditional wrestling, like the boots, the tights, like, and I'm not trying to crap on Mickey James' flappy pants or anything like I usually do. It just looks so traditional. She has white boots and tights, no kick pads or anything. She looks like $1 million, and because she's a little smaller than everybody, she really lays her shit in. Like, I mean, really does. And Thunder Rosa is one of my favorite wrestling performers in the world. Everything about her is convincing. Like, there's a lot of people that throw on face paint to just throw on face paint. I feel like that is Thunder Rosa doing that. Alex, when you see this, does it give you hope for the booking of women in AEW?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think it's there, especially the end of the match leading to something else. You're getting, I mean, we're going to get two storylines for women at the same time.
Yeah.
One of them doesn't involve a title. That's mind-boggling. Like, that's really cool. Like I'm very optimistic and I always have been. I feel like they need to devote more time to it. And from what I understood, like, there are women there who are just not ready for prime time.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? So like, they can't just like throw them out there. Hey, girls, go have a 12-minute, you know, 4-star match.
And they got very lucky because a year ago, Britt Baker was one of those. A year ago, Nyla Rose was one of those. 6 months ago, Anna Jay was one of those. And you've had three women really rise to the occasion. One of whom we saw during this match, Robert, I audibly cheered in my living room when I see Britt Baker and Thunder Rosa come within just each other. I'm like, oh, they're doing this. Now, granted, I still think Britt Baker should be the world champion. Mm-hmm. But you know what? This as a few, I'm all for this. Thunder Rosa and Britt Baker is maybe the most excited I am for anything on the show right now.
It's a good stopgap on the way to her inevitably winning the belt. Mm-hmm. This is good because they had the little back and forth on social media on Friday.
Yep.
And everybody's thinking, oh, it's real. It's real. Nope, they gotcha.
Yep.
And I like it.
As it turns out, they are workers and they're very good ones.
And anything that puts Britt Baker on TV is good, because I want to go back to what you said a few months ago. Anna Jay, Nyla Rose, Britt Baker. That is the emphasis of character, because Nyla Rose is a great character. Anna Jay, great character with the Dark Order. And Britt Baker is just the best thing in this women's division.
She's so good. And let me tell you, in my experience, it could not be more opposite of... Like, it's amazing how well that she pulls this off, because, my God, it's just, she rose to the occasion. She is everything that she's everything that AEW wanted her to be when they made her the first signing. When they hit her up after All In and said, hey, don't sign anywhere, she has fulfilled that. She has accomplished that. And that pull apart afterwards. Alex, did you get a chance to see that?
Yeah, that was. I'm all in for that. Like, I was really excited where I thought it might be going between Britt and Big Swole, and it never fully panned out.
Yes.
For me. So this is the most hyped I am for the potential of a women's feud in AEW since their inception. Like, I'm so ready for that, because Thunder Rosa is so amazing at everything, and Britt is just the best. Goddamn talker and character. She's so great, and she's really improved in the ring too. And I love that she's got this. You know, she's got Reba out there who can help her. Like, there's a really, really good storyline there to be had.
Yeah, and I mean, something to keep your eye on. Britt's transition specifically. Like, I see those, and I'm like, wow, didn't expect that out of someone even at her experience level. And I don't mean number of years. I mean number of matches, because she spent a lot of time doing other stuff, but. Jimmy Van on the Listen Your Boy today, cheap plug there, said, what's the benefit for AEW to do this? If they did something with Impact, if they did something with NWA. And I said, I'll tell you right now what the benefit is for NWA. They get Thunder Rosa's face on their screen. That's good enough for me. That's good enough for me. Evan, go ahead.
I'll go a little deeper. AEW doesn't have a huge roster.
No.
But they've got plenty of working relationships. And they've got video game space that could mean a lot for all brands involved. And that's something that's not, you know, to be taken lightly, you know?
AEW versus the world sounds like a pretty cool video game idea.
That would be really good.
Also, there's not a lot of veteran WWE female talent that's just floating around out there. How many times have we seen a woman released from WWE or let go and they never wrestle again? It's happened all the time. And what they're doing is they're taking one that has, and they're doing really good stuff with Serena. It's just, I it's looking up, and that makes me very happy. The Jam on Ryan B. James says, was hoping for a Ken Jeong cameo during the Vegas stuff. They should have done that. They should have found a way to do that.
They should have figured out a way to get Tyson in there.
I mean, why not? to promote his fight too. That would have been good. Like, Jericho has his tiger, and Jericho gets knocked out.
Got a history with Jericho.
Yeah. Jay Blood says Ortiz aggressively working out in the bride tank top.
I think I might have missed this. The three brides that Sammy had, was one of them Trent's mom, Sue.
I didn't see. Need to look. That'd be amazing. Evan Wright says, ready to explode when Chris Statlander returns too. And Evan Wright says, them doing five women's matches on Dark was a nice thing to see this week. More of that every week to get the not ready women ready. Yeah, I mean, wrestling's changing. We're not going to see as many live events and house shows in the future. So you got to do it somehow. And Eloquent says, that AEW documentary thing looks cool. Yeah, they got Director X for that. That bad boy. And Ray says Sue was the second wife, I think. Oh, man. This was so good. This was so good, and I was so happy for it. Kevin Steets says, was hoping for a run out during Deeb and Rosa. Very glad that it was Britt. Oh, yeah. Me too. Me too. And then we get the main event, Team Taz against Cody Rhodes and Darby Allin. Team Taz ends up winning with a drill claw. But the match, fine and dandy. Fine and dandy. But that was not the story of this situation, Robert. Will Hobbs has joined Team Taz.
This was obvious to me from the moment they pitched it to him, but that doesn't make it any less great. And even as much as Will Hobbs looked great, this is the best Brian Cage has looked since they signed him. He looked like an actual machine. He looked like a killer. This trio looks ready to go. And I can't wait to see them bring life to AEW's midcard.
Yeah. What did you think, Alex, of Will Hobbs going heel? JJ Lee says, Will Hobbs could have been a huge face. A shame. I think he could, but he's got to develop a character first. He can't just exist there and be a big baby face.
Yeah, no, I think it's possible that he could be a big baby face. I kind of been anticipating this the whole time. Like, he just feels like a dude that would walk around towering over Taz and you know, teaming with Brian Cage, like, drill people into the ground. Like, yeah. And Ricky Starks just being that guy who's, you know, who, hey, he has to get Ricky Starks, his mouth gets him into trouble, and Will Hobbs has to get him out of it. Like, there's all this stuff. It just feels very easy to me to picture those three guys as a unit led by Taz as their manager. It just feels very professional wrestling to me, and I'm very excited to watch it.
And I like that for a change, we get the...
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Guy that was offered a spot in a stable, he thinks it over and he goes, yeah, because this gives credibility to every time it happens in the future, because how many times have we seen it and somebody goes, no. Bryant, he says, AEW didn't feel like 2 hours. Darby shouldn't have eaten the pin since he's TNT champ. Rob, your thoughts on that?
I disagree. Darby should have eaten the pin because Brian Cage looks like the number one contender for the TNT title now, as he should. And Darby Allin can take the pin and keep coming back because that's his whole gimmick.
That's fair. I mean, I see it on both. Evan Wright says, I audibly yelled in my living room for Will Hobbs to make himself a star and hit Cody. I'm so high on that guy. I'm glad AEW is getting behind him. This is something that AEW does that some other companies, I'll just say WWE, don't do. Like, this is a main event angle, I think. Like, I mean, a main event of TV angle. Like, a big turn. Okay. Yeah, put that on last. That makes sense. sometimes you'll have that on like hour two of Raw or something, not to pick on WWE, but it's the way they format it. I like this closing the show. You get something big that happens. J-Blood says, what pops off the screen constantly is Ricky Starks is a one-of-one kind of talent. Boy, yeah. Is that the truth. That guy is going to be big. He's going to be yep. big. Alex, does anything like jump off the page at you about Ricky Starks besides the things that we see, a lot of the intangibles?
He's just got such a great look to him. Yeah. Like, he just feels like an old school, jerk of a heel that can back it up. And then if he feels like it, he's got two behemoths behind him that he can say, you know what? You back it up for me, guys. Cause I don't feel like it tonight. There's that whole mentality of, you know what? I could kick your ass, but I don't feel like it. Boys, you kick his ass for me. That's such an old school heel thing. It's so great to be able to like have that in present now and make it actually feel real.
Ricky Starks to me is like the closest thing we have to a legitimate member of the Four Horsemen. Dude looks good. He can work his ass off. He is as good as it gets.
I got a Four Horsemen for you. How about Cocoa, Fruity, Frosted, and Blueberry, Robert?
Are we talking about
MagicSpoon.com/Fightful, the Four Horsemen of your breakfast? If you want to look like a horseman, you can't be eating that regular cereal. Too much carbs, too much sugar. Not a Magic Spoon, zero sugar, 11 grams of protein, only 3 net gram carbs or net grams of carbs in each serving. It's amazing. It's keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, low-carb, GMO-free. I love Magic Spoon. Their variety pack has all 4 of those flavors. I dig this stuff so much. When you're dieting, but you still want some of those familiar foods, Magic Spoon beats all. I mean, you can have it for a snack. You can have it for breakfast. And I always tout this. Whenever I eat regular cereal, I get more than one bowl. One serving size? Yeah, I bet. Maybe two. Maybe to like an 8-year-old or something. Not a man. Not a grown man. You're a man, aren't you?
Yes.
Yeah, of course you are. Thank you, Robert. You're a man. So you want a real serving. Well, at Magic Spoon, one serving is one serving. It fills you up because it's got that 11 grams of protein in it. Doesn't leave you feeling empty, and you go right back as you get that walk of shame back to the kitchen island or whatever, and you just, well, there's the finished box. There we go. Need more milk? Nope, Magic Spoon kind of regulates all that. Check them out, MagicSpoon.com/Fightful. Grab a variety pack. Try it today. Use our code FIGHTFUL at checkout to get free shipping. They're so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. If you don't like it for any reason, as in if you're not a man, they'll give you your money back for free. I mean, they'll give you your money back for free. Or give you your money back if you're a woman, too, but they don't discriminate against gender or anything. I don't want to imply that. MagicSpoon.com/Fightful. Use the code FIGHTFUL for free shipping.
Do you remember, this is off the subject, do you remember when Dr. Pepper 10 came out, where it was 10 calories? Their entire slogan for the first year of their existence was, it's not for women! Because what? Like, diet soda is for chicks.
Okay, yes.
This has 10 calories, not zero, so it's not for women! And I'm like, okay, guys, way to just completely cut yourself out of 50% of the market share.
Oh,
fantastic.
Man. Anakin JMT says, if you want one serving to fill your loved one up.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, man. I should have thought of that. I like to swerve people. Bryant, he says, do you think Team Taz needs Taz? Yeah, I do. I think Taz is one of the best on the mic out there right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, Taz is, as much as he's that gruff Brooklyn, like, I'm so tough just because I talk this way, it works. And he's bringing something that isn't out there right now. So I'm all for it.
Reminder, guys, as we get in the NXT review, donate a super chat. Get your question or statement read on the air. Even if some of them are a little bit behind and we can't show them on the screen, I do take them down. Kevin Steet says, I love Cody, but Darby is TNT champ. He should have came out last. I do agree with that. I think that's important. I think perception matters. Robert, does that do anything for you?
Well, Cody, this is the one place where Cody is just like, nope, this is all me. He's got to have the biggest entrance, the longest entrance. I mean, Omega's really trying, but maybe it's a rib on Cody. Who knows? Because these Cody entrances are really dramatic all the time. And I think Darby should have come out last.
I mean, live, though, I got to say, Cody's entrance owns. Like, it's so good that even when Downstate did that terrible version, live, you're like, yeah, it's not so bad. I mean, that's how good they are. But, oh, man, Nerd Guru says, over under, Shotzi trying to die at War Games? Man, she's crazy in that ring.
What's the over under set at? Five times?
I don't know. They just said over times? Under, so I don't know 100 what that times? Means.
Yes. Zero. Yes, the answer is yes.
The answer is
over death, yes. Always bet over death.
My God. Oh, God, I just got to put over Leon Ruff so hard. So they have this match, and it's good. And I actually like the DQ finish because it made sense. Damian Priest walks out, and he's like, you know what? Sorry, kid. And he punches Leon Ruff. And he wants to screw over Johnny, and it makes sense that he wants to screw over Johnny. And that's the way to do it, because not only does he lose, he doesn't get his winner's share either. He doesn't get to go to the pay window. But Alex, what I loved was the backstage.
This entire storyline through line for the entire episode was so good, and it made Leon Ruff look like, I'm like, well, I thought that I mean I didn't think he was a joke.
Yes,
but I thought it was like a feel good story.
And now I'm watching. And here's the thing: you're not alone, Alex. And if you did think he was a joke, that was the point. He made you know he wasn't a joke.
Yeah, that whole thing where he walks up to Priest is like, "What am I a joke to you?" Like, no, I'm the champion, and I love that he says this. If I can't retain the championship, I don't deserve it. Like that is a true baby face thing to me. The guy who like says, "No, I beat Johnny." He wants a rematch. He gets a rematch. Absolutely. And if I can't beat him, then I don't deserve to be champion anymore. There's so few baby faces that would say that. He said it and he meant it. And he slaps Priest because he says, no, I'm nobody's joke. Leon Ruff for president. Like, I love this storyline for this guy. So cool.
And I mean, here's the thing. I know a lot of people compare Damian Priest to Baron Corbin. Don't do it. Don't do that. If Baron Corbin didn't exist, Damian Priest would be up on that main roster in his spot, and they would not be making a joke of him. This ain't Baron Corbin getting slapped and being like, huh? This is Damian Priest being like, motherfucker, what'd you just do? Right. But part of him is like, okay, now I know.
Basically, he's saying Leon Ruff has a point.
Yes.
Like, he's saying, like, as soon as Ruff walks up, he's like, yeah, I screwed that up. I shouldn't have done that. Yeah. That was bad of me. And like that makes me like Damian Priest more. Makes him, a guy owning up to his shit.
That's a babyface move.
It's a babyface move. He hasn't done a single babyface move since he became a babyface until tonight. And I'm like, you know what? I like Damian Priest. And I love Leon Ruff. I hate Johnny Gargano. This triple threat match is going to be a lot of fun.
Oh, and Regal was amazing.
Oh, he was so good at this too.
He's like, you deserved every bit of that. And yeah. Priest is like, yeah, kind of. But I love it. Oh, it was such good writing. Such good writing. And, of course, they go out and brawl later. Robert, what's this story doing for you?
So logical it hurts. You know, like, it's so good. My favorite thing is, first of all, Priest pops him in the mouth because, hey, look, I don't really care that you're champion. I just care that Johnny isn't. Ruff has the perfect reaction. If I don't deserve this, here. And rip up my contract, too, because I don't want to be here. And Regal, straight-laced, best GM in the business. You know, you deserve that. And if you want a three-way, the three-way is yours.
Yeah, I love that where Ruff gets involved in the brawl between Johnny and Priest. I do hate that they have Damian Priest has a match now. And as he's walking down, the first guy to be introduced for the match, Johnny attacks him. I have no idea who the match was supposed to be against. It doesn't matter. We'll just move on from that. But I love Leon Ruff getting involved and holding his own in this three-way brawl. And I love him basically saying to Regal, I want to face both of them. Like him requesting the triple threat match, but he knows he's in the line of fire of two guys. that he has one third of a chance of keeping his title, and there's no disqualifications that are going to save him that time. It's so great. Like I want him to retain in the triple threat, yeah. And I want him to have a long run. I'm really in on this Leon Ruff guy now.
JJ Lee says, I was afraid for Leon in this story. Now I'm all in. Man, people have been wanting to work with Leon Ruff for a long time. He's appeared on like every brand this year and made very good impressions all the way. Bryant, he says, didn't realize I needed Leon Ruff as North American champ in my life. This was the closest to a 1-2-3 Kid Razor Ramon moment that I have seen in a long time.
Yeah.
Bo Dallas throwing out Wade Barrett was not it, or beating him. That was not it. Yeah. Humberto Carrillo was not it.
Mm-mm.
This was. And also, I got to say, those shorter-term contracts they're signing these wrestlers to, already proven fruitful. They are shitting or getting off the pot with these people. Yeah. Kurt Stallion, a fixture on 205. August Gray with his TV tan showing up all the time. Like, they're using these people. Now, if only they would put that guy, Stokely Hathaway, that they signed 2 years ago on TV.
I know.
Might be good news coming in that direction very soon, though, guys. Throwback 27 says, just wanted to thank the Fightful community for everything they've done. Tomorrow will be hard, but fun. Leon bleeping Ruff. This makes NXT fun. Yeah, he is a blast, and he's playing this character very, very well. And he does make it fun. He does make it fun. So more of that. More of that. Less blindfold matches. This is stupid.
I honestly thought for a second they were going to do a thing, because it did appear like that was going to do, where that Loomis could still somehow see because he lives in the dark. You know what I mean? Like, he was just going to keep walking straight forward toward a panicky Cameron Grimes, and at least it would have been funny. But it ended, you know, too fast with the stomping out of the zombie ref. I did appreciate that Vic Joseph had coined the term PZSD, which is post zombie stress disorder, and I think that's great. And I want Cameron Grimes t-shirts that says I am a survivor of PZSD. This is all stupid, but it was fun. I mean, it was stupid, but it was fun. Says,
I am a survivor. Had some people saying that my thing glitched out. I can't help it, guys. We use StreamYard on Wednesdays. I can't really control that. It's an imperfect software.
My thing glitched out.
So we get a video package for War Games December 6th before we go back to the ring for our match with Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell defeating Caden Carter and Casey Catanzaro. I was fine with this. Again, there was nothing to the blindfold match. You covered it all.
Yeah.
But they are developing a women's tag team division in NXT. So I'm sitting here thinking, get those titles off of Nia and Shayna immediately, please. Alex, your thoughts on Candice and Indy? I'm liking them.
Yeah, I mean, I'm every time I see Indy do more stuff, I'm impressed. I still haven't seen enough of her as an all out performer to really have a opinion. Casey and Caden, they're really good together. And they work as this underdog pairing. Like, they're really fun. They're little couple of pit bulls. I like it a lot. But they never win matches, and they're not supposed to. This was a good thing to like progress the Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell thing, especially since they just basically announced in that War Games thing, it's going to be Shotzi's team versus Candice's team. So Candice has got one.
Mm-hmm.
So now we'll figure out who the next two are by the end of the night.
We got an Arturo Ruiz video package because, you know, he got drafted to Raw last month, Alex.
I can't wait till we get a Dabba Kato video package next week, and then a Rick Moss one, and then all the guys who were on exclusively on Raw Underground, who never had a match on regular Raw, all got drafted to Raw when I guess they thought they were going to salvage Raw Underground, and then they just gave up on it entirely. And like, you made Dabba Kato into a major deal. Yes. On that one, and you can't figure out a way to like have him punch dudes once a week.
Here's all you do. Oh, well, you may have noticed that Chelsea Green was on SmackDown, or you may have noticed this wrestler on Raw from NXT. We traded Arturo Ruiz back. We traded Dabba Kato back.
Sure.
Future considerations. You make some sense of it. A three-team deal, for the love of God. Because let me tell you, we've seen far crazier us NBA fans over the last week. I mean, I know that right now, in the NBA, Arturo Ruiz is worth at least three first-round draft picks.
At least.
At least three.
Well, one of them is in 2040.
Yes, yes. And so is his push.
Yeah.
Kushida. Kushida, and that's being generous. Kushida beat him. I'm all for Kushida beating people. He rules.
I think he does rule, and this is great, and Kushida should beat him. I think Arturo Ruiz there's a role for him in WWE as a hitman type. Like, he has that look. He's got that pedigree. He's the Brazilian jiu-jitsu guy. Like, AJ Styles has this comedy bodyguard who's so large that even large men are afraid of him just existing. Like, instead of having a comedy bodyguard, have a stable of dudes. Have his actual bodyguard, this guy is using, use Dabba Kato, and use this guy, Ruiz, as like a surgeon who you only send in to like take out a dude's knee and then he put him on a shelf. Like have that be his role, as opposed to guy who is a Brazilian jiu-jitsu fighter who gets his ass kicked by Kushida. And it was a 50-50 type of match, but like, you know what I mean? Like, there's more you can do with guys like this. Be creative.
As much as it's weird that, you know, he was paired with, I believe, Raul Mendoza and Tay Conti for the longest time. Yeah. And Conti seems like she's the one doing the best out of all three. Ruiz will be a fine tag partner for Timothy Thatcher when they run out of people and they can just go around killing everybody.
Legado del Fantasma got to be looking over at the Death Triangle like, motherfucker. Like, I was supposed to be the coked out guy. Not Pac. What the hell? So after... we get Ember Moon and Toni Storm kind of side-eyeing each other about the future of the women's title. The Jam on Ryan B. Jam says, I wanted who is to take the Blackman role in the 24/7 segment and be the serious guy who the comedy guys can't beat. Yeah, I mean, quite frankly, I think that Lars or Dabba Kato being like the guys that they're like, well, maybe we can beat him, but I don't want to even try type of thing would work.
Yeah, that's a great comparison. Ruiz could be an amazing Steve Blackman type of character. He'd be really cool. He'd never even have to talk.
No.
He'd just like wreck dudes, you know?
And Gulak could be his Al Snow.
Yeah.
Which, you know, kind of a parallel there.
That
a
would
guy
be good
who can
too.
Do a little bit of everything, but they lean in on him for comedy.
That'd be good.
Man, there's potential with 24/7, but they just the same thing, chasing people and getting rolled up. And when I see dorks getting rolled up on concrete backstage and getting pinned, but then I see Ali roll Riddle up the way that he did on Raw, where he puts all of his body weight across the shoulders and the calves, I'm like, all right, this doesn't compute here. This doesn't make any sense to me. Like, make it make sense, please. Well, Toni Storm and Ember Moon defeated probably my favorite WWE tag team right now, Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez. I love those two. I think they're awesome. I want the NXT, or I want the women's tag titles on NXT at this point, Alex. What'd you think of this match?
I want the NXT, the women's tag titles to be defended.
Yeah.
Period.
Help.
They should float like they're supposed to.
Yeah.
And if they do float to NXT, that's a perfectly great match I'd like to watch. And again, this is a lot of fun because I like Ember and Tony as a tentative allies until the time comes that they're both going to try and go after Io's title. But you're right, Kai and Gonzalez work fantastic together. They're a wonderful combination of different kinds of styles. Gonzalez impresses me more and more every time I see her. That giant chest slam thing that she does where she just lifts them up by their torso and slams them down. That's so good. I'm very excited about all this. And then we get to see that basically Candace and Indy are recruiting them to be the other two in their War Games team. So that's a good choice for me as well.
I like your portrayal of Henry Rowan Gardner's mom in Rookie of the Year with the titles, because you're asking them to float it.
Float it.
Nerd Guru says, keep Nia away from NXT, please and thank you.
Well, yeah.
Fair. You know what? Also, I noticed she's like not taking any of the pins. Like, why are they protecting her? What do they think they have there? Like, is there something? There's no secret box to unlock there. Like, we've seen it. Yep. We're past the point of, oh, well, she came up and she was still pretty green, but she'll end up. No, she won't end up. No, mm-hmm. She's not gonna. No.
She's got the protection of the tribal chief. It's pretty solid.
Yeah. Candice LeRae and Indy attack Moon and Storm after the match. Dakota and Raquel help them out. Sure. Cool. I'm all for that. Timothy Thatcher beat August Gray, as I mentioned. He got that TV tan. And another guy that we saw get signed on one of those Evolve deals. And they've already got him on TV every single mm-hmm. week. And I like him. He's fine. And he's fine in this spot, which is getting beat by a more experienced Timothy Thatcher. Alex, I like this.
Yeah, and he's not backing down at all. Exactly. I mean, he looks like an extra from Boogie Nights, but I'm gonna let it go.
I want him and somebody else to form like skinny nasty boys so bad. Because I mean, the reason he went with August Gray is because Anthony Green's his real name, and he was Retro AG, and he had a very like nasty boys-ish look. I would just love like a little nasty boys.
Yeah,
thing.
That'd be good.
Please.
Yes. I'm. This is all good because Thatcher needs wins. Like even if they come at the expense of the Evolve guys, just get him wins, so that when we actually get into a program like he appears to be heading into, we don't look at go like, well, he's lost his last six matches. They were all great matches, but he lost his last six. Why are we looking at this guy as though he's a threat? So it's good to give him back on the win column in a few weeks in a row.
And they need to get him back in the win column because Tommaso Ciampa showed up. And I'm very interested in your thoughts, both of you. We'll start with Alex on Thatcher looking at Ciampa and being like, I got no problem with you. And very much backing down from Ciampa. Alex, how do you feel about that?
Well, I mean, Thatcher has no problem with Ciampa. Like they haven't had a thing. What I hoped we were going to get is Ciampa coming out and saying, I like the cut of your jib. I could use a man of your talents because even though Ciampa did the baby face thing and sending off Velveteen Dream for the time being, which is no bigger baby face thing in the world than to beat up Velveteen Dream. But at the same time, I think that heel Ciampa is where it's at. So I would have loved if he was like, no, I'm not here to attack you. I'm here to shake your hand. I like you. I was hoping that's where we were going. But no, apparently he wants to pick a fight with Timothy Thatcher, which should be interesting. But if you're going to go that route, Timothy Thatcher shouldn't be like, sir, I defer to you, sir. I shall bow
What's
to you
up,
as I
you
back
guys?
Slowly
it's November
11th. Out of
the ring.
That's not a great look for Timothy Thatcher.
Yeah, this goes very much in the same vein of like, if Ciampa wants the entitlement out of NXT, Thatcher is giving him what he wants. He's being very respectful.
Like the idea of like Timothy Thatcher, like that's my idea. If he wants to like go into the locker room and root out all these kids who think they're something, you use a guy like Thatcher to help basically do that, who also hates all these young kids. Like who hates these kids who don't know what the art, the technical
hopefully
art
it never
of,
does
of wrestling is. Thatcher doesn't like those guys, and neither does Ciampa. They seem like a perfect fit to work together, as opposed to Thatcher's the guy you want to go after. I mean, I know he quit, but like the perfect guy for that would be like Austin Theory. You know what I mean? Like there are lots of people out there that feel like they're a little too big for their britches. Timothy Thatcher does not seem like one of those guys.
I am in agreement with that too. It's just such, we're so used to that one-dimensional WWE booking. Where it's like, if somebody's a badass, they either do or don't. They never back down, or they're complete chicken shit. And that's just what we're used to. Andre Banks says, would love to see Shayna come back and haunt the NXT women's division again as a tag champion. Well, I think that would be actually a good thing. I think that entire division should conspire against her in that regard. Like, she's everybody's enemy. But they're all working together because they also know that those titles will be on that show more. And I think that would create an interesting story. but I don't know if that would exactly work. We had a super chat earlier about Kevin Owens and Finn Balor. Colt Badeau says, Kevin Owens on commentary next week. Yes, please. Well, I don't know what this means. I mean, like, I don't know if he's getting involved in a storyline, but again, I do want to see them make some freaking sense of this, of why he can just show up. But yeah, I'm all for, I mean, on commentary, no big deal. But if he's wrestling,
right,
I wanted to make sense of it.
Well, here's the way you make sense of it. It's very easy to do. He's showing up because Wade Barrett asked him, as Wade Barrett has said, I found a guy to come in and take my spot, and he was so happy to do it. Kevin Owens is like, yes, I love to talk. Let me go back to the place that I love. Yes. I love NXT, and I will sit there and talk. And while he's there, you have somebody pick a fight with him. And then he's not like going back to NXT as a wrestler. He's just fighting the dude who picked a fight with him. And that's something for them to do that's a lot easier.
Yeah, we've been hearing for like a year that Kevin wants to go back to NXT. I hope this isn't it, though, because the main roster needs Kevin Owens. And the main roster needs Kevin Owens to be utilized in a big-time way.
Yep. This Boa stuff. What the fuck is going on?
She's coming. She's coming. I don't know who she is, but she's coming.
Has Karen Q ever seen this menacing to anybody? What am I missing here?
I don't know. It's a weird thing where was it just me or did he answer the door with two black eyes?
Like, he did.
He had been slapped around pretty bad.
Well, he hasn't slept. He's around the clock waiting for her because she's coming.
I just love Regal, like, at the door. And then after he closes the door, Regal turns around and does a take to the camera who's over his shoulder. Like, did you see that? That's kind of weird, right? It's just so wonderfully Regal.
Oh, my God. Reminder, guys, as we wrap up, get your super chats in. Io Shirai and Rhea Ripley. Good match. Clean finish. I dug it. Ray Callahan said, Rio Io, or Rhea Io, hot dog, Rhea to Team SmackDown Sunday. Rhea did hug her, shook hands. I mean, that's the common speculation or the natural speculation after something like this, Robert, is, well, they lose. It's the big send-off. It's pretty solidified and clean. They're moving on. I'm still waiting for the Charlotte thing to make sense.
Yeah.
But I could see her popping up on SmackDown. I'm surprised she wasn't already on SmackDown as is.
Like, SmackDown needs her for Survivor Series. But overall, Raw needs Rhea Ripley.
Yes.
Because Asuka's sitting here with the title. And she hasn't done anything since fighting Bayley and Sasha. In fact, her last opponent is now no longer with the company. So it's therefore kind of like retconned. I don't know. Raw needs Rhea Ripley and they need her yesterday. So hopefully she goes to Monday nights.
Like, this thing is that I have, like, on SmackDown, she gets to work Sasha. She gets to work Bayley. She gets to work Bianca. She gets to learn from somebody like Natalya. Like, I would love the idea of Billie Kay just assuming that this other Australian person can also be her best friend and just ingratiating herself into Rhea Ripley. I think that could be a lot of fun. I feel like on Raw, she gets turned into Crocodile Dundee. Like, she's just terrible, terrible character that Vince is like, hey, great, you're this giant Amazon woman. You kill crocodiles. That's what you do. Like, I feel like that's the thing that it's going to jump into his head on Raw. On SmackDown, she'll be too busy working great matches. On Raw, they got 3 hours to fill. Got to do some zany character shit.
See, but I'll go so far as say this is the one Triple H would stick his neck out for and die on the hill.
I don't know what that's going to do.
I can't tell you the number of people that have moved on from NXT that tell me you're no longer one of Triple H's kids when he doesn't book you. And I mean, that was, I don't want to say that disenfranchised a lot of people, but it did. I mean, a lot that I spoke to were like, man, everybody says that, oh, we're one of Triple H's kids. No, you're not once you leave. And because he doesn't really have that much to do.
If Triple H is the father figure, he's the guy who says, once you turn 18, you're out on your own. I don't want to hear from you again. That's who that guy is.
The Nerd Guru says, keep Charlotte away from NXT, please and thank you. Cyclops is better than Wolverine says that Boa Esaias story is so bad it's good. It is ridiculous.
Well, we don't know what it is yet.
It's
like
still
I'm
so
it's
dumb.
still incredibly dumb.
You're telling me like, they don't have email in China. I get Chinese spam mail every day.
No, it's an ancient Chinese sect that's gone for that's time traveling. That's what it is,
oh
John. It's very simple.
God.
It's horrible. But I still don't know what it is yet. The end result could be great, but the journey to get there is whack.
They
man.
Act like Xia Li lives, like came from North Sentinel Island or something like that. Like you can't communicate at all. You just got to send a letter in a bottle. It's so ridiculous. As far as Charlotte, yeah, I don't want her back in NXT for any reason.
Yeah.
Also, Io Shirai, Rhea Ripley, fantastic match.
That was a great match.
Fantastic match. Then we get the finish. We've got Finn Balor coming out. Now, they played this very close to the vest as to what was going to happen, what announcement would be going on, and there really wasn't much of one. It was just him being out there. Bryant Heath says, that NXT end hyped me up. It was Pat McAfee's group coming out. And Undisputed Era coming back. Alex, how did you feel about this close to the show?
It was weird, the whole, like, Finn's supposed to be here, but he hasn't shown up yet. Let's do that exact update four times throughout the night. And then the weird thing was, like, they do a split screen of him arriving to the arena during the women's title match. Like, that's not the place to do that, guys.
Exactly.
That's not the place to do that. Not then, because that match, that women's match was shit. We're underselling it. Like, it was a great damn match. And this, to be the close of the show, I understand why they did it, but still, that match deserved to close the damn show.
I would much rather them have it done before and him say, I wanted to check out that match.
Instead of,
you know what? Yeah. I showed up during that.
I love Finn. I think who knows what announcement he was going to make, but I did appreciate, you know, Pat McAfee being as good as he is on the mic because he's great.
He's such a natural.
He's
such a
natural at this.
His bumps too. Like,
his bumps are good too, man. He's a real natural at this. But him showing up, and I like Finn be like using UE as his backup is such a weird thing. Like, it's the enemy of my enemy is my friend, but Finn doesn't know Pat McAfee's his enemy yet. So it's a weird thing to like have, like, hold on. I had this whole thing queued up. Lights and like the lights go out on Finn. Like, he was ready for it. It's just a weird thing. It's funny.
That was NXT. Bryant Heath says, Pat McAfee is my favorite heel. He's a really good one.
He's really great.
And Alec Farmer says, SRS should get drafted to Raw and become the character Senpai Dong Lord. We can all bow down to our hero. No, I'm booked very well on Fightful. And
you value your artistic creativity.
Senpai Dong Lord, though.
What is it?
I think Vince would enjoy booking Senpai Dong Lord.
You know what? I'd probably get a pretty good push.
as the
Dong Lord. Well, you all get to see the OG Dong Lord. Undertaker, not via the penis, just the dong, bidding adieu on Sunday. So make sure you guys join me for that post show. I'll be joined by Fightful MMA Shaquille Mejuri. There's UFC pay-per-view this weekend, and I'll be joining him on the 1-2 punch on Friday afternoon. So there's just a ton of stuff. We've got shows like every day. We had the Listen Your Boy today, and make sure you check out Jeremy Lambert and Joe Hulbert on The Distraction. I'm so happy to see that doing well. They'll be doing our retro reviews on Select moving forward. But you can also check out Alex on Select. Alex, tell the people all about it.
I review Raw on Tuesdays and SmackDown on Saturdays. And SmackDown is usually better than Raw, but that doesn't mean it's good. So I am liberal with my criticism, I guess, would be the
yes.
nicest way to put it.
Rafael Garcia had sent a super chat and said, was Pete Dunne always meant to be a part of McAfee's group, or was he included to replace Ridge? As far as I know, he was always supposed to be in it. I think Lorcan and Birch were the additions. I don't quote me on that. Don't like report that or anything, but that's what I believe. Robert, in about 24 hours. I guess you're technically on the clock for us.
I am. I'm here in Fightful Friday through Sunday. The rest of the week, I'm over at WrestleZone.com, and I'm over on their Facebook channel doing their podcast. And I'm also on SmartCat Moment Wednesdays, Fridays, and Sundays. So check me out everywhere.
Guys, please do it. Reminder, leave a thumbs up, subscribe, tap that bell for notifications. Most importantly, subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. If you guys like us having new personalities and new faces on, if you like the exclusive news, do that. It helps us finance that pursuit of news, hiring people. Also, I did a review or a prediction show with Xenia. Check her out on that. It's for Survivor Series. Lots of stuff on Fightful. Until next time, guys, we're out.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants. They all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.